Isaiah chapter 6 is where I want you to turn this morning. And this is the beginning of this passage is you've heard before, I know. Let's read it just a moment. And I want to talk about what Isaiah is experiencing in this chapter. It starts off by saying this: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, as we think about Isaiah, no one in their right mind would think, well, Isaiah just decided, woke up one morning and decided, you know what, I think I'll go to church today. And then he goes to church and there he sees God. That's not what happened. We know that Isaiah, this was probably something that Isaiah did as a routine, as common, was to be in church every Sabbath and to be there to worship God. But this particular day when he goes to church, something unusual happens. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to church and maybe you got up that morning and you thought, well, I'm going to go to church and it'll be just like every other time I've gone to church. But then all of a sudden God shows up in an unusual way and something happens, maybe in your heart, maybe in your life, maybe in your family. It might have been the day that you said, you know what, I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I remember that night that I was in church and I heard the gospel and I went down to the altar and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and everything changed for me that day. And I've never been the same since. You see, the problem is so often we go to church just like Isaiah probably had done many times, and we don't really expect to meet God. We're just getting our duty done. We're just filling in the boxes. But what I want to say to you is I believe that one of the reasons we're to meet together is that God wants us to meet Him. I believe God is here this morning. And one of the reasons I know that is He promised that where two or three are gathered together, that He is right in the middle of us. Do you believe that this morning? Now look what happened to Isaiah. He goes to church, and he says when he got to church, look what it says. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. What would happen if you came to church this morning and God physically and personally was here? Wouldn't that be incredible? Look what it says. It says, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Here's what I want to say to you. If God was here this morning, it wouldn't be what you expect. A lot of people think, you know, God's my best friend. You know, we're buddies. Let me tell you something. Do you ever get in the presence of God? The first thing you're going to experience is His incredible holiness. God is holy. And God is different. And if we were to stand in His presence, you know, time after time in the Scriptures, people are confronted with God or even with one of His angels, and the Bible says they fall down before the glory of God as if they were dead. This morning, if God were to be here and He were to appear and you wanted to come into His presence, can I tell you something? You wouldn't be able to look at Him. You would be able to do nothing but to just fall at His feet. The Bible says when we get to heaven and we surround the throne, we're going to be throwing our crowns at His feet. You know why we're going to throw them at His feet? Because I think that's the only part of Him we're going to be able to stand. Now, I don't think it'll stay that way. But I want you to understand, we have a shallow view of who God really is. And y'all, if God were to be here this morning, I love the song that says, my mind's going blank. It talks about being in heaven and how would I react? What am I thinking of? I can only imagine. That's it. What would I do if I were in the presence of God? It says, you know, at his feet would I fall? You know, would I be bold? Would I be able to say anything? Would I do that? You know, I wonder that myself. What would you do if you were in God's presence this morning? Let me tell you something. I believe there's something you would definitely do, and it's what Isaiah did. Look in the next verse. Verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. You know what I think is the problem in a lot of churches today? We don't have any clue of what it would be like to be in the presence of God's holiness. Because the first thing that's going to happen when you stand before God, and every one of us will stand before Him one day in all of His glory, and the very first thing that's going to happen is it's going to be like going to a party and realizing you forgot to put clothes on. You're going to feel embarrassed. You're going to feel self-conscious. Isaiah said this, woe is me, I am ruined. Now, how many of you ever said that to yourself? Woe is me. Anybody ever said that? No. Because that's, for number one, it's an old-fashioned term. But let me tell you another reason I believe we've never said woe is me. Woe is me is a phrase that means I am totally, utterly helpless and hopeless. And especially in America today, I think there's very few people that have ever looked at themselves and said, I am helpless and hopeless. Jesus said many in the last day will stand before Him, and they'll start telling all the things they've done for God, and He will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. You see, we gauge our relationship with God for all the stuff that we do for Him. We think, well, you know, man, I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray, and we come up with this whole list of stuff why God ought to be really happy with us. But we can do that and not have a clue. You see, I worry that in the church today, I have a common saying, I've heard others say this, that I think some people are saved, but they've never been really lost. And you see, I don't know if it's possible to be truly saved until you've been truly lost. And there are people that grow up in church, and they experience all the churchy things, and they say, well, you know, I don't know whenever I accepted Christ. I just kind of grew up, you know, being a Christian. I don't think that's possible. I think there has to come a point in every single person's life when you look at yourself and say, woe is me, I am ruined. Can I tell you that as a 14-year-old boy, I was sitting in that revival service that I told you about a moment ago. And the preacher was preaching on hell. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was headed for hell. I was ruined. And in my spirit, I was saying, woe is me. I can't do anything about this. And I went down the aisle and I said, I am going to hell and I don't know what to do about it. The problem is we have a world today of people that are on the highway headed for hell and they don't even realize it. And they don't know what to do about it because we're not telling them. And y'all, let me tell you something. We've got to recognize that we only have one hope in this life, and that's in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And let me explain something to you. We look at ourselves and we think, well, I'm just not as bad as so-and-so. There's lots of people out there that are worse than I am. And we look at our sins and we think, well, mine are just these little dinky sins. They don't matter that much. I want you to understand something. If God could overlook your little dinky sins and they don't matter that much, then that says one of two things about God. See, we think God is love. So God will overlook it when I sin. But what I want you to understand, if God can overlook even the smallest speck of a sin in a sinner's life, then he is the most cruel God that ever existed, because he would allow his son to die on a cross when he didn't have to. If Jesus went to the cross, that means one thing, and it means that God cannot overlook the least, most insignificant sin. Amen. And that least, most insignificant sin will send you to hell. And Jesus had to die, and it took just as much of the blood of Jesus to save you and all your insignificant sins as it did to save the worst sinner that's ever existed. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the last thing we want to do is to look at ourselves and say, woe is me. I am ruined. But when Isaiah stood in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, he said, my eyes have seen the Lord, and I am ruined. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Isaiah was saying, I'm a sinner, and I live in a world of sinners. Now look what happened. It says in verse 6, then one of the seraphs, that was one of the angels there, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Now I want you to imagine this for just a moment. Here's a man that's found himself thrust into the presence of the Lord God Almighty, faced with his glory, faced with his holiness. And the first thing he could do is look at himself and say, I am a sinner. I am awful. I am hopeless. And then God takes a live coal from the altar and touches it to his lips and said, your sin is done away with. For some of you, there are some of you here that at one point in your life you recognized, I'm a sinner, and if something doesn't happen, I'm going to hell. And then you understood that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. And you did what I did at that altar when I was 14 years old. You said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm going to hell. And I want to ask you to forgive my sins and to come into my heart and cleanse me. Take away my sin. And then maybe you experienced like I did. I got up from that altar and I knew my sin was forgiven. Man, you talk about being grateful and thankful. And now look what Isaiah did. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. When you recognize what God has done for you, the sin that He's forgiven in your life, the very least that He could ask is, how can you use me, Lord? What can I do for you? Lord, send me. After what you've done for me, send me. And that's what happened to Isaiah. Now I want you to look what happened next, because so often we read this chapter and we stop there. And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused and their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. God's telling Isaiah, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to send you to speak my word to my people Israel, but they're not going to listen to you. They're going to let their hearts get cold and hard, and they're going to ignore me. But you go and you keep telling them. And then look what it says. Isaiah speaks to God and he says in verse 11, then I said, for how long, O Lord? I got to go tell this people your word and they're not going to listen to me. How long do I have to do that? And he answered, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken, and though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they're cut down, so the holy seed will be in the stump in the land. Now I want you to understand what he's saying here. God's telling Isaiah, I want you to go speak to this people, but they're not going to listen. Basically, he's telling him, I want you to be a preacher, but you're going to be a failure, because the people aren't going to listen to you. What if God told you, my will for your life is to be a failure? Would you be willing to follow the Lord? And Isaiah said, well, how long do I have to do this? And he says, until the land lays desolate. He said, I'm going to judge Israel. And he gives an illustration at the end. He said, like a terebinth or an oak, these are large trees. He said that when they leave nothing but a stump. You ever cut down a tree and it just leaves a stump? What good is a stump? Not much, is it? They get in the way when you're trying to plant a garden. You can't do much of anything with a stump, can you? It's worthless. And he says, you wait until you look at my people and they look worthless. But listen what he said. But the holy seed is in the stump. What does that mean? I want to give you three things that I believe he's trying to teach us this morning. Number one, I believe he's trying to teach us that God has a purpose for every one of us. And your purpose, it may not be glamorous, it may not even be easy. In fact, the truth is, if you're going to do something for God, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. Jody and Tammy, when you're putting this trip together, has it been easy? I know it hasn't been easy. But God's going to bless, isn't he? You know he is. Y'all have been enough times to know that. When you're doing what God wants you to do, it's not going to be easy. In fact, there are times, you know what our temptation is? When it gets hard, when you're struggling, you say to yourself, well, this just must not be God's will. This is too hard. And we give up. And I'm sure there were times Isaiah wanted to give up. And he said, how long do I have to do this? And God said, you keep doing it until there's nothing left. So what I want to tell you is, listen, there are so many examples in the scripture of people that started off with God well. In fact, tonight we're going to look at King Uzziah, the guy that died when Isaiah went into the temple. He started off well, but he didn't finish well. And there's all kind of examples like that. A lot of people, they will tell you, when I was young, boy, we were involved in church, and we did this, and we did that. And you look at them now and say, well, why don't you go to church? Oh, I don't know. I don't want to meet God that way. You know, the older I get, the closer I get to the day when I'm going to stand before God. I want to be faithful. I want God to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, what happened to you? So the first lesson, I believe, is this. You hang in there till there's nothing left. Amen. You do what God has called you to do, even if it looks like it's falling apart. You do what God has called you to do till there's nothing but a stump left. Amen. You just keep at it. You trust him. The one that called you is able to keep you if you'll trust him. The second lesson is this. We look at the children of Israel, and we're seeing this prophecy that God is giving Isaiah fulfilled. Where Isaiah preached to these people, and he preached to these people, and he preached to these people, and they wouldn't listen, and they were stubborn. And they thought their own ideas were better than God's. And Isaiah would tell them what God said. They would say, well, I just don't believe that. How many times do we read God's word? I have had people in church make the statement to me, well, I know the Bible says, but I just believe. And they explain away what the Bible says. And God told Isaiah, you keep preaching. Till my people, for my people, they're nothing but a stump left. But listen, he told him something. He said, the holy seed is in the stump. For the children of Israel, listen to me. They had to go into captivity for 70 years. And then they came back to the land, and they were in the Holy Land for 400 years before they ever heard the voice of God again. But guess what happened at the end of the 400 years? They heard the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. And Jesus was born, the Son of God become flesh. And he came into this world and took the sin of the world upon himself and died on the cross to redeem us. And then he rose from the dead to prove that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back one day to receive us unto himself. The holy seed was in the stump. The holy seed was in the stump. Do you see that? Amen. Now there's one other lesson that I think that Isaiah, that God is trying to teach us here. You see, I believe God deals with you and I much like he dealt with the children of Israel. How many times does God tell us, follow me, do it my way, turn away from the world, be holy as I am holy? How many times does God challenge us to live for him, and how many times do we excuse it away? Well, I just don't believe that. I know the Bible says, but here's what I believe. How many times do we live shallow spiritual lives that never amount to anything? How many times do we know that God is calling us to do something and yet we're unwilling? How many times are we more interested in our own comfort, in our own pleasure, in our own goals, in our own ambitions, rather than what God wants? How many times are we more worried about what our neighbor's going to think about us than we're worried about what God thinks about us? Listen, Isaiah said, the holy seed is in the stump. Can I tell you what I believe he's teaching us? You remember what Jesus said? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I believe the third lesson that he's teaching us, and it's for each one of us here today, is that as long as we're putting our own desires and our own thoughts and our own designs ahead of what God wants, we're going to be like the children of Israel, and we're going to end up being nothing but a stump. Jesus said, if a man will save his life, he'll lose it. But if a man will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. When you decide, God, I want to be a stump. I don't want to have anything of this world that gets ahead of what you want. Lord, as far as I'm concerned, I give up all my ambitions, all my reputation, everything that would get in the way of making me seek your face. You see, what we're doing is we're allowing, you know what? God has been working. There's some people in this room, I believe, this morning. God has been working in your life, and he's been trimming you down. And you keep wondering why God does this. And you're complaining to God, God, one day I ain't going to be nothing but a stump. But you know, there's some in here that are saying, God, you keep showing me what's getting in the way, and I'm going to cut it off. You keep showing me what's getting in the way, and Lord, if there's nothing but a stump left, that's good. Amen. Because what value is a stump? When we begin to look at ourselves and say, there's no value here, that's when God can truly begin to use us. That's when the holy seed is in the stump. Do you see that? God can do miracles with a person who they only have one thing to grab onto. And that's the Lord God himself. When we don't have anything to claim, listen to me. We make all kinds of excuses and reasons why God ought to be happy with us. And can I tell you, based on the Word of God, there's going to be a lot of people one day that are going to be surprised. Because they have boosted themselves up. They've enjoyed all the bragging on them by other people. Anything I can do to show everybody how spiritual I am. And one day they're going to be surprised, because God's going to reveal that only until we get to be a stump can he truly use us. Till we see no value in ourselves. The holy seed is in the stump. Do you see that this morning? I want to ask you this morning. Are you here, and are you willing to say, God, I've let so much garbage get in the way of my relationship with you. I've let so many things become important to me that aren't important to you. And Lord, today, I just want to be a stump. I just want to let go of everything in this world that would keep me from truly seeking your face. Before anything else, I want to care more about what you think than what anybody else thinks. And I want the holy seed to be in the stump. I want that holy seed to be in this stump. Amen. So that you can use me. You'll be glorified. And I'll be walking with you. And I won't one day be surprised. The Bible talks about that when Jesus comes, for many it'll be like a thief in the night. You know, I believe we all think that means, well, we'll just be surprised. I do think it means we'll be surprised, but not in the way that we often think. I think it means it'll be surprised, because we thought we're going to be right there on his right hand, and we're going to find out we didn't know what we were talking about. There's a lot of people, when Jesus comes back, he's going to come as a thief in the night. Because we're not going to realize what it's really meant for him to redeem us. I remember reading a book. It's actually a secular book. And it talked about those people that climb the ladder of life. And they climb and climb, and ain't no telling who they have to step on to get to the next rung on the ladder of life, and they finally get to the top, and it's only then that they realize the ladder was leaned against the wrong wall. Y'all, there's Christians that I believe think that they're climbing that ladder with God. Well, and they look at other people and they think, well, I'm a whole lot better than they are. And one day they're going to find out their ladder was against the wrong wall. This morning I'm going to ask you, would you be willing to say, God, I want to take up my cross and follow you. I want to let go of everything I am counting on to make my life meaningful. And I want to hold on to nothing but what you think makes my life meaningful. Let's pray together. Father, I'm praying that you'll speak to hearts this morning. And God, it's so easy to pat ourselves on the back and to think that we are something, and your word says it this way, that to think we're something when we're nothing. Lord, the truth is the only way we're ever going to be something is when the only something we are is in you. And Father, I'm praying this morning there's some that have been counting on so many things to please you. And God, there's nothing we can do that truly pleases you. It's only as you are allowed the freedom to use us and to work in our lives any way you want to, that you become pleased with us. And Lord, I'm praying this morning, if there's anyone here, Lord, God, maybe they're realizing their ladder's against the wrong wall. And I'm praying that you would speak to hearts this morning. And God, I'm praying that you would help us to see the truth about our own hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name.